So, welcome. This is News Channeled, where we'll be bringing you any current news, what's been announced, what's coming up. We'll be talking about any stuff from the NAF, GW, potentially big tournaments that have been announced, when you can sign up to them, and just general Blood Bowl news. So, what have we got from the news this week, Jim?
Well, it's actually been a bit happening. The first of those is that we got our first call out on another podcast. So, the guys on the Blood Bowl Tavern mentioned us. Really interesting podcast about the Southeast generally, leagues, tournaments, news, all that kind of stuff. I'll post a link in the show notes so you can have a look. Plays Chewbacca at Super Bowl 10, and they mentioned our game and more generally our podcast, which is very kind of them, and you should definitely check it out. In terms of wider Blood Bowl news, if you look at wider than GW, and there's actually something from them, we've got two or three news stories. Should we start with probably one that you're more up to speed on than me, Rob, which is the Team England team has been announced, I believe, for the Euro Bowl, which is the slightly more competitive one team per nation side of the Euro opening that's happening in Greece later this year.
Yep, so we've finally had Team England has been announced. So we have... obviously, Kafo comes in as the new captain. We already knew that there was a shootout between him and PW, the old England captain, and Kafo had quite a good majority of the votes to become captain. He's been chatting to sort of NAF reps around the, well, not the UK, definitely England. That would be a pointless exercise with those guys.
Yeah, the Scottish would definitely try and
undermine that somewhat. So, yeah, we've got a list of who's gone on the Euro Bowl team. So the Euro Bowl team is, the, like you said, the nations bringing their best eight with the rules pack versus other nations' best eight. England have a pretty good record at Euro Bowl. I think it all went a bit wrong last year where it was a new rule set and they got caught off guard a little bit by how impactful stars were. So they're hoping to get back up there again. So starting off, we have Bulldog with an 8 rather than a B at the start. He is a new cap to the England team. I've seen the name around a little bit, but I don't think I've ever bumped into him at a tournament. We've got Breakmonker, who's another new cap. Again, another one. I've not heard the name. I've not seen them at a tournament.
So looking at the, they've done a little write-up. Apparently he went 8-0-1 with Rats at the World Cup, which is a pretty decent performance.
Yeah, strong performance, tier one team. But again, I mean, I'm sure they were on pretty good teams, but I always feel a little bit miffed by some of the team tournaments taking someone's record into account. Always seems a bit of a miss for me, just because you could be on the worst team at the World Cup and be on the top table as a really good coach. And, you know, that's a lot easier going 8-0-1 if you're in the lower tables than, you know, the guys that are up at the top tables. So for me, someone who's on the top tables and gets like a 6-2-1 is more impactful than someone that goes 8-0-1 in the bottom half of the table. That's not to say that he wasn't on a bad team at the World Cup, but I think team tournaments, as much as it is going towards a team tournament, can skew the stats a little bit.
You clearly have to look at an overall.
Absolutely. Yeah, and again, they probably have looked at the coaches that he played against and seeing how strong they are. So I'm sure that is a legit record, but just for me, it's always in the back of my mind a little bit. I'm like, team tournament records can be a little bit skewed. Next up, we've got L Planet 4. Again, new to me. That's another new cap for England. Quite a few new caps here, which is good to see.
That is good to see. There's a bit of variety in the coaches, absolutely. And I think that was one of the aims they went into this process with, wasn't it? Was to try and freshen it up a little.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Joe Manji. I know of Joe Manji through All the President's Men, and we caught up with those guys at the World Cup, originally being from the London scene, a lot of them playing in the ECBBL. So, he's a familiar face to quite a few people. PW, the old England captain, I have actually played against him, got a draw in my first ever NAF tournament against him at the OGT in London. Purple Goo is returning. Purple Goo, I've bumped into at a few tournaments. Again, another one from All the President's Men.
I've heard he's pretty decent.
Yes. Pretty sure. Did he get. I think he's won the NAF C in the last couple of years as well.
Yeah, according to the write-up I've seen, he's won that and Water Bowl, which are both, you know, pretty good tournaments with a very good field, yeah.
Yeah, big tournaments. Yeah. Next up, we've got The Rake, who is a new cap. I've seen him kicking about in one of the Discords. He seems quite active in there and always looking for games, although I've never bumped into him.
Apparently a man who's made Norse look good, Rob, so you can have nothing but respect for that, I'm sure.
Oh, fair dues. Yeah, good first cap there then. And then we've got Barney Lurker as a non-playing coach. So Kayfold said even in his opening when he was applying for England captain that he'd like a ninth man or woman to sort of keep on top of how consistent the team were and how fast they were playing. So in a team tournament, you as the captain or amongst the team, it's quite important to keep tabs on what's happening in all of the games. I mean, we've only done four coach tournaments, and even that can get quite difficult, keeping tabs on how everyone else's games. Do I need to push for a win? Do I just take a solid draw here to get us the round win? And then times in that by two would be quite a task without having sort of the ninth person being able to run up and down, see how people are getting on. Also, it's good to try and keep her within like one or two turns of each other, because you might have needed a win in your game, but if you've just smashed through the game really quickly and just been like, right, I've got a solid draw, get the game done, I want to go and get some food and, you know, have a bit more time before the next round, it could be that maybe you could have pushed for a win in that round. So yeah, you try and keep everyone around the same sort of turn. So if everyone's on turn three, don't push too hard to get to, you know, turn five too quickly. Slow it down a little bit. Let everyone stay around the same sort of level of turns. And you can work out what needs to be done when it does get to turn 14, 15, 16. Are you having to push or are you just locking the draw? Get us a draw. We've got two that are looking like comfortable wins. We've got a loss over there. You just need to get us the draw and we're good to go. So I do quite like that.
So that makes complete sense. I think if there was an extra player on our team, he'd just be a runner for drinks.
Yeah.
Which tells you how we take the game a bit more differently in terms of seriousness than Team England.
Yeah, and then we've also got the European team. So there'll be one in the Euro Bowl, which is against all the nationals. The European can be mixed teams for the European. Only four coaches in the European squads. It doesn't say on the England newsletter how many of these are new caps, so I'm not sure. I mean, Gegster is the first coach up, and again, he's part of all the President's Men, or has played with them quite a lot. I think he's been around Team England for quite a while. It says on the thing that he's the most capped player for Team England as well. So he'll be, I assume, sort of leading off the European team. Nippy Longscar is another one that I've seen around Discord getting pretty good results, and again, he's quite active. Scouse Boy is a complete new entity to me. I assume the name sort of tells us a little bit about the location he's coming from, and I don't go up that way that often, so that's a new one to me. And then rounding it off, we've got Thulian, which I have heard of Thulian. I think he's only come into the game in the last couple of years, and he's got a beautifully painted Amazon team, which is how I sort of came to know of him. Where he's got like original source lighting off of like a campfire in the middle on his Amazon team that is just beautiful.
I didn't realise it was that team. They were beautiful. And again, according to a write-up I've seen, he was the best rated Zons player at the World Cup.
Yep. Again, and I think, again, I assume he was on a pretty good team and that record holds up against some pretty, pretty good coaches. I think he's done quite well in sort of tournaments back home as well. Has been pushing for some decent results. I will give one shout out, which I think is a bit of a mission. He may not have even put his name forward for it, but I was surprised not to see Torque Marder or Carl, who is, I think he's somewhere out Reading-y way, but he's put up some really good results with Vampires. He's only come into the game in the last couple of years and he's already on about 3, 4, maybe 5 NAF trophies. Like, he's hit the ground running and is a solid player. So again, maybe he didn't even put his name forward for it. But that is a bit of a surprise omission from me. If he did put his name forward, I would have thought he would have been a really good candidate. He's also a really good Vamps coach, which, you know, I think a lot of people have been struggling with Vamps to actually figure out how to make them good. But I think he's found the secret and he has absolutely been dominating with Vamps the last 6 months or so, or since they came out and got the new rules updated. So, yeah, that's the Team England for the Euro Bowl and the European. Hopefully they can turn up and put a shift in. That's if they don't end up playing us in the European, because we're hoping to get out there and take our own team. So maybe we'll bump into Team England and give them a run for their money. We shall see. I've played a couple of ex-Team England players and managed to hold my own. So we'll see if we can do that at the European. Maybe, maybe not.
There's been a bit of news about that online and there's been some good commentary. Where there's been a bit less news is we're voting for a NAF president, which is a pretty important role, you'd think, and one where I don't know about you, Rob, but I've not heard an awful lot.
No, I saw a lot about the Team England stuff going up, but not much about... I knew this was coming, but there's not been huge announcements out there anywhere. Obviously, we had Nate Beam. I'm going to absolutely hash it, but I think Geico or Gaxo is the president who was there for the last 10 years. You'll also find him on the back of the NAF bribe token. That's who our current president, who is on the way out, is. But I've not seen much really there. I think a lot of stuff is done on the NAF forums. But, you know, how many people are actually going in and just randomly checking the NAF forums?
I found them quite hard to find. No one were coming on here and doing this. I had a look, and it wasn't particularly self-evident. You didn't go on the NAF page and see a big banner saying president elections happening, click here, or anything like that. You really had to go and look for it. I think there were originally four people standing, and there's now three. Daniel Perez, who's Shurikov from Madrid in Spain. There is Craig Ashby, or Mr. Hobbs, who I think is from the US. Is that right, Rob?
Quick look. Mr. Hobbs is from the US, yep.
And then Grant Hallis, who would, frankly, the only reason I knew these elections were happening was because a different podcast, I think it was the Both Down guys, one of the Canadian podcasts.
Quick correction here, it was the Get the Ref podcast, and I will link the show in the show notes.
Mentioned, yeah, had an interview with him. He's from Canada, and the Canadian NAF representative. There was also someone standing from the UK, KFOG, who mentioned earlier Team England captain, but I believe he's pulled out now.
Yeah, so he's stood down from being up for being voted in. It's also, there's not a lot of candidates. I would have thought more people might have come forward for it, but maybe it's quite a thankless task. You generally see quite a lot of moaning and issues with people having with the NAF. Nothing major. I don't think it's really anything that they're doing wrong per se. I just think the NAF, for the growth the game's had in the last couple of years, I just don't think the NAF have been able to keep up with it. Obviously, I think the gifts are fantastic, and I think it's really good for people going to tournaments and getting people involved. I see people are sometimes a little bit miffed at having to pay to sign up to the NAF to play in tournaments as like an extra. But my thinking is it's quite a small cost. A lot of tournaments will pay it for you. You've got a good TO, they'll just cover the cost within the tournament fees. And it's quite handy to be able to track all your stats and see how you've done at tournaments and how you're doing with certain races. I mean, I know some people won't care about that. But also, I think just the NAF website is just a bit outdated now. It's just a bit creaky and it's hard to find what you're actually looking for. It needs a bit of an update. I will shout out Sam has been doing loads of great stuff with the tableaus, especially before the World Cup, where he pretty much had everyone's roster that was going to the World Cup, how many times skills were taken, stuff like that is amazing. But that's outside of the NAF website a little bit, and normally I find that off of links through Discord and stuff like that. Really, like a NAF newsletter would be great, just giving you a little bit of insight a bit more often of what's going on in tournaments. You do get a bit, do get the president's chat, I think it is, and you'll have a few tournament reports in there. But again, unless you go in there and sign up for the newsletter, like you said, there should be banners on the front page of, you know, big things coming up, like, you know, if it's Euro Bowl, European, like World Cup years coming up, who's throwing their hat into the ring for the next World Cup. Because you get a lot of rumours and stuff, like people chase this, it's, you know, people want to know. You know, as soon as you've been to a World Cup, you're like, oh, what countries are potentially going to host the next World Cup? People will bat it around in the community. It'd be good if the NAF can get on that hype and be like, you know, here's countries that could host it. I know nationals, there's been a few countries that have gained nationals recently. And like stuff like that, I feel like that should be a big like celebration or like a big thing. I know like Poland is like hosting its first national. I think Sweden or somewhere in the Nordic countries is hosting its first national. And you have to have like a tournament with a certain amount of coaches, a certain amount of coaches registered in your nation to be able to do this, which is showing growth, which is great for the game and it should be celebrated. And it's not being put out there as much as I feel that it could be. But obviously the new president will come in and maybe they'll make some of these changes. It's also not me being putting myself forward for any of this because I'm too busy, but I do.
Well, that's the... That's a really interesting point, because the community as a whole are rightly saying, you know, lovely to have a fresh newsletter, lovely to have a fresh website, more importantly, lovely to invest in this. I'm not sure the community is going to want to pay for all of that, because it doesn't come for free, and our membership fees are pretty low. And as you rightly said, Rob, we get some really nice little gifts for it. And those are pretty much approximately the value of a membership. So it's a volunteer-run organisation. I think it's a challenge to see what they do. I'll be really interested to see what they do. How much influence can a president have, and how much time can they commit? Well, I guess we'll have to watch this space and see what they do, because there's a lot they could do. The hobby is in a great place, but I don't know how much time, money and effort they can realistically put into making those things happen.
Yeah, I think realistically, I think you need to start looking at potentially having like a fundraiser for the NAF. You know, you just, like, I think it was Hokkaido did something like last year. It wasn't for the NAF, but he did a fundraiser for a charity where I think it was every touchdown he scored and maybe every casualty he got, he donated a euro or a pound or a dollar, whatever currency, to this charity. If you could just do that as a bit of a, if you just said on the NAF, right, we're going to do this run of badges or like patches for like, if you can raise 250 quid for the NAF, you can get this patch. We're running a big fundraising drive. Something on that similar ilk. Every, you know, you could get a fouling badge, you could get a scorer's badge, you could get a casualty badge. And then you just, every time you score a casualty, every time you know a casualty in a tournament, you'll say you'll donate a pound to charity. And bits like that, because, you know, it's a great community and it's just having the tools to support that. You know, the guys that have been playing for a couple of years will go and find the information that they want, but really, with the amount of new players coming into the game, it'd be great to have, you know, that website really popping and being up there at the forefront of people going and finding the NAF after being mentioned, and then coming across this website that is really helpful, got all the bits there, and getting people into the game.
Yep, and, you know, it'd be interesting to see how many people would do those and how much funds they'd raise. Talking about an organisation that does have deeper pockets and is able to support the game in different ways, Games Workshop. We've got the actual release of Skitter Stab Stab yesterday at the time of recording, I believe.
Because obviously this is coinciding with the Skitter model coming out, we should also mention that the Grashnak Blackhoof, I believe it is, his model is also finally coming out, even though his stats came out in Spike 12, Spike 13. Quite a while ago now, we've actually had the rules for him. It was at the same time that Korn was released. It was in the Korn Spike. But we've just waited nearly a year for the model to catch up. Although it is quite a nice model. Lots of nice models out there. But yes, we have got Skitter Stab Stab in the game again. Shall we run through the stat line very quickly?
Yeah, it's pretty much as has been predicted, isn't it? But if you've got them there to hand, Rob.
Yeah, so it's very similar to a gutter run. I'm not sure if any of this is actually different. So movement 9, strength 2, edge 2+. Passing 4+ and armor value 8+, which I think is just,
so that's all standard gutter.
That's a straight gutter runner. Cost is 150k, which is a bit light, but we'll quickly go over the skills. So he's got dodge, loner 4+, prehensile tail, shadowing, and stab.
So the bits that make him different from a normal gutter runner are the shadowing, stab, prehensile tail, and obviously loner.
Yeah. Although loner is good. I assume Hackflem is loner 4+ as well.
Yeah.
The big comparisons here are going to be drawn between Hackflem and Skitter Stab Stab. Special rules, he's a master assassin. Once per game, when Skitter successfully breaks an opposition player's armour as a result of a stab special action, he may choose to re-roll the injury roll, which is quite nice.
It is quite nice. And against some, you know, stunty teams and the like, he'll be dangerous as well as an offensive weapon. But I think the reality is most people are going to be taking this model because he's a relatively cheap way of getting a gutter into some teams that can't otherwise get a gutter in.
Yep, and obviously it is a massive one-turn threat.
And his access is Underworld Challenge and Favoured Of, and it's probably the Favoured Of that's seen as more of an issue.
Yeah, so Chorfs, Norse are all about to start seeing gutter runners being added in.
Well, you say that. A lot of tournaments, before his stats have even released, have put him on the banned star list because they were worried about this profile.
I don't know how I feel about that. I think you have to let it run for a month or two and then throw the ban hammer down. I don't like the theory craft ban hammers. Same as Vamps. I think Vamps came out and a lot of people were just like, throw him in this tier. And it was like, let's throw him in at the tier that they've been put out at and then we can adjust with a couple of months. Yeah, you might skew the scene for a couple of months, but the other thing is I think as a player, you've got a responsibility not to be that guy a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm not sure a lot of people will follow that responsibility.
No, it's true. It's true. But I think a lot of people will take a very strong team. So I know a lot of people that have taken like Morg Snots to tournaments have won the tournament with Morg Snots because it's not as much of a challenge as, say, another team. You've got a good shot at a tournament if you turn up with Morg Snots because you can just delete people's teams. But most people I've spoken to have taken that build, won the tournament with it and gone, I'll never play this again. Because they're just there to try and pick up the trophy with it. And they realise that it's not a massively fun play experience for themselves or the opponent. Because it's just make a screen, hide more behind it, blitz out, kill something, jump back behind the screen again. And within 5-6 turns, half their team's missing. And then in you go. And then they've got the drive or with half a team, which you can just swarm it with Snotlins because they've still got, 14 players on the pitch if it's all gone well.
Yeah.
So it's just oppressive. But I think there's a lot of that where I definitely think the London scene is getting a bit more conscious of not taking builds that are just not fun for your opponent to play against. Which I don't think this fits quite in there, but
there's some of that, and there's some of tournament rule packs reflecting that as well. And I think we've done the same thing as the rest of the community, which we've looked at this and we've looked at the at-test and we've immediately defaulted to talking about tournaments. Yeah, there is a whole scene on leagues as well. I think this would be quite a fun addition to leagues, to be honest. I think this will be, chaos teams, favoured of teams are generally reasonably high arm, and Norse are a bit of an exception there, clearly, but if they are players down, this will be an interesting different option for them to bring in. And I think this player on a Chaos chosen team in a league, for example, or a Nurgle team in a league, will give it something different and something fun to try and a different experience.
So I don't hate it in a league, because the other thing is yes, I'm maybe a bit backwards in my thinking to it, but I'm having a Star Gutter Runner or even like Griff, it's just sucking all your SPP out of the team. So yes, for that game, you will probably get a win in that game if you've managed to start quite well and you're a solid enough player. But you're not going to get any SPP. You're going to go into the next game having not really gained anything but an MVP role, because they're going to score most of your touchdowns in that game. So yes, you might get the win that will get you closer to playoffs, but you won't develop your team as well.
But he's also a strength 2 player with armor 8, and I think the number of games he's going to last all of is pretty slim. So, like you say, you in a league, you don't need to use him at the right time to score the touchdown, and he's not got block, he's not that defensive, he's not going to be an awful lot of use for you the rest of the time.
Yeah, because he doesn't even really, that's the other thing, unless you're like, I mean, a lot of the leagues that we are in run the inducement slightly odd, but I guess if you're the overdog and you've already got 12, 13 players on your roster, to spend the extra 150 to give your opponent more then means that you can have, a solid team like Chorfs with the one turn threat where you just drive, they drive down and you've got a shot at the one turner at the end of the first half, and then you've attritioned them the first half anyway. You just come back and try and get a 2-1 win in the second half. It just gives that option, which they potentially didn't have before. Although I think Chorfs are an interesting one because you've still got the ball centaurs that are exceptionally fast as well. I think they're 9 movement as well with all the sprint and sure feet added in there.
I think they can get to effectively 10, can't they, with the sprint and sure feet on their movement 7, and sprint means they've got an extra 3 movement 7, I think.
Are they movement 6 or 7? Oh, so maybe they're movement 10, so maybe it's not as, maybe I'm missing something on the Chorf team then. But it's just the mobility, I guess. It's the dodging through the tackle zones, and
that definitely the agility makes a big difference when you're trying to do a one turn. It definitely helps.
And even stab can come into effect at certain times as well. If you just want to get something down.
Yeah, my bad. You were right, Rob. Bull Centaur's a movement 6, so it gets them up to effectively movement 9.
Yeah, so you've got in theory that gives you 3 movement 9 pieces, but one of them can dodge out on a 2+ or 3+ into a tackle zone, whereas the other's doing it on a 4+ or 5+ into a tackle zone. So yeah, definitely an upgrade there. Yeah, I think we need to see it in action and give it a bit of a trial run out. I don't like the idea of banning stuff before it's even hit the field.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've got to give the models and the game and the rules writers a chance. That's probably right to ban it, but it probably deserves some proper field testing first.
Yeah, and hopefully we can, I'm sure there'll be plenty of people that give it a go and get it done. The nice thing is as well, if you've got a Hackflim model, you can pretty much just run it as Skitter and got less models to paint if you just want to try it out in a couple of months before you think it's going to get banned. Saves a bit of painting. Or you just use a gutter runner from your skaven team, both do the job.
Yeah, pretty sure one of them. There's plenty of gutter runners out there that look like this kind of model would suit them well.
Yeah, how do you feel about the model, is the other question as well.
It's fine. It's a nice model. I don't think it's exceptional. I don't feel as excited about it as some of the others they've put out recently. Is it that differentiated from what I'd expect a normal gutter runner to look like? Probably not.
No. The one leg being connected to the base is terrifying to me. And not very thick. I do like the touch of putting the like ogre chest plate on the base, though. I do like it when they sort of bring another team into it. I think it was Scylla who they had like stepping on a wood elf. I do like those silly little like additional bits where they sort of bring another team into it.
I agree.
You can match out with your team colours and stuff. I do like that. I've got the Night Goblin Punga team, and one of the goblins is jumping over a human helmet, and I was like, it's just a really nice little touch that sort of just brings a bit more theme and character to it.
Just leaves one final bit of news, which is that Threadball had so many donations this summer just gone that they're doing a second auction. They're doing that online and it kicks off now. So you can log on to the Threadball site, we'll link it in the show notes before, and bid for anything that takes your fancy. It's all for a couple of great charities and definitely one worth checking out. Some interesting dice in there, some interesting bits and pieces that you might not get on a regular basis. So that was the news channeled. It's Channel Fury with Jim and Rob. Rolling dice, turning stories.